Important notice. All the information and content of the podcasts is not intended to be and should not be considered a substitute for medical or other professional advice. The answers delivered are of general nature and based on average experience with patients. The content might not be applicable and or suitable for all patients. Any treatment decisions are a matter for the individual clinician and should not be based exclusively on the content of these podcasts. I hope you enjoy them.
My name is Dr. Naila Aribi. I am the director for the IBD Centre at St. Mark's Hospital in London and an honorary senior lecturer at Imperial College. I am also the current chair of the EPICOM committee. In this podcast, I will talk about a common question asked by patients. Am I going to get cancer? I will address this question directed at colon cancer, which is the commonest IBD-associated cancer. It is important for patients to recognise that not everybody with IBD is at increased risk of developing colon cancer. The risk of colorectal cancer increases at 8 years after a diagnosis of IBD, except for people who have concomitant primary sclerosing cholangitis, where the risk increases once PSC has been diagnosed. In addition to disease duration, the degree of colonic inflammation and length of bowel involved are predictors of colorectal cancer development. The risk related to length of bowel involvement differs between ulcerative colitis and Crohn's disease, mainly because Crohn's disease is characterized by scip lesions and colonic inflammation may not be continuous. For ulcerative colitis, cancer can occur when the left side or the whole colon is involved. There is no risk associated with proctitis. In Crohn's disease, it is only when there is involvement of more than 50% of the colonic mucosa that the risk increases. Therefore, it's important to convey to patients that without these risk factors, their risk of colorectal cancer is like the rest of the population. Patients with IBD often ask for a number that quantifies the risk. Following a publication in 2001, the cumulative incidence for IBD-associated cancer has been estimated as 2% at 10 years, 8% by 20 years, and 18% by 30 years. This means that for every 100 people, at 10 years, 2 will develop cancer, at 20 years, this number rises to 8, and by 30 years, 18 of the 100 will develop cancer. However, more recent studies suggest that this landmark figure may be an overestimate. A subsequent study published 10 years later suggests the overall risk is increased by 2.4-fold and related to male gender, young age at diagnosis, and extensive disease. Even then, only 1.6% of ulcerative colitis patients developed colorectal cancer during follow-up. Within this study, the comparative cumulative incidence of colorectal cancer was less than 1% at 10 years, up to 2% at 15 years, and between 1 and 5% at 20 years of follow-up. The cumulative risk at 20 years here is lower than the 8% previously reported, possibly because the studies from which this data is drawn had more patients with a longer follow-up. More specifically, the incidence was 1% and 2.5% in the studies that provided a follow-up of a reasonable number of patients at 20 years. It is critical that patients understand the uncertainty associated with these numbers and the reasons for the variations. There are differences between IBD-associated cancer and cancer in people without IBD, referred to as sporadic cancer. The risk of sporadic cancer in the general population increases with age. Detection of early and even precancerous changes as polyps improves prognosis. Most countries have adopted a bowel cancer screening program to detect and remove polyps. In these population-based programs, people above a certain age, usually above the age of 50, undergo a stool test to detect microscopic blood, and where this is positive, they are offered a colonoscopy. At colonoscopy, Any identified polyps are removed, thereby reducing the risk of future colorectal cancer. A few people have a genetic predisposition to cancer. These people are usually identified by a family history of early cancer or have clinical conditions predisposing them to cancer. Such patients are also offered screening and subsequent surveillance colonoscopies. Sometimes the risks are so high that the only way to mitigate the risk is to remove the whole colon. Where people have been identified as being at risk of developing colorectal cancer, either because of previous polyp genetic position or long-standing IBD, regular surveillance colonoscopies are offered to look for precancerous changes that can be locally treated, or, if missed, to detect cancer before it spreads. It is important to appreciate key differences between sporadic or genetic and IBD-related cancers. Sporadic cancer is characterized by a stepwise progression, known as the adenoma carcinoma's pathway within a polyp. The usual sequence of progression is from low-grade dysplasia to high-grade dysplasia, non-invasive or early cancer, and invasive cancer. This sequence does not apply to IBD-associated cancers. In IBD-related cancer, this stepwise progression may be absent. At any point during a surveillance colonoscopy, patients may have low-grade dysplasia, high-grade dysplasia, early cancer, or invasive cancer without any preceding precancerous changes. In addition, dysplasia may not be visible endoscopically and only found after a histological assessment of a biopsy specimen. The management of each of these findings is often challenging and depends on several factors outside the scope of this current discussion. Patients may also ask, what can I do to reduce my risk of IBD-associated cancer? Since duration, extent, and severity of inflammation are linked to cancer, it is thought that persistent uncontrolled inflammation causes a field change in the makeup of new regenerating cells, and this manifests as cancerous changes. Some studies suggest that mesalazine drugs at doses of at least 2 grams daily reduce risk of cancer, and a majority of experts and guidelines recommend the use of these treatments to reduce risk. Another group of drugs that may reduce the risk of colon cancer are the thiopurines, azathioprine and captopurine. However, 10% of experts disagree with the findings, and the option of treatment is often left to the discretion of the treating physician and generally not recommended within the guidelines. In summary, some people with IBD have an increased risk of developing colorectal cancer that is greater than an age-matched population. That risk depends on several factors, including disease duration, PSC, extent of disease, severity of inflammation, and future findings of dysplasia on colonoscopy. Early, regular, and thorough surveillance colonoscopies may detect precancerous lesions that can be excised. Where lesions are not excisable, removal of the colon may be the only option to reduce future risk of cancer. Regular therapy with 5-ASAs is recommended to provide effective control of inflammation and recommended within many guidelines to reduce the risk. Thank you for listening to this podcast.